Well, it's Father's Day, right? So I'm going to tell you some things that I really didn't like about camp. First or second night, I don't remember, it was the first phone call we received from my girls. And there was some little freakish puke down there that had the audacity to come up to my sage and say, "Your eyes are beautiful." Her eyes ain't any of that brat's business. Okay. Then, I don't know if it was the same one or one of his little disgusting friends, they came up and they said, "Well, on the hot scale, you're off the charts." So I'm going down next year. And my old buddy David Brim, I'm going to ask him if I can't testify, and I'm going to make sure that all the young men know who my daughters are and that they have absolutely no business speaking to them. Amen? Amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm not ready for this teenage stuff, folks. I'm not ready for it. Ready or not, I don't. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, let me get my jacket off and all this. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 4. "I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I want to preach to you off the testimonies that we just heard from our youth and that we always hear from them when they come back from camp, on the keys to obtaining a testimony. The keys to obtaining a testimony. And Brother Streeter, would you pray? Amen. You can be seated. Amen. The keys to obtaining a testimony. Okay. Now, as a pastor, and especially when I was the youth pastor here at this church, I always loved to take our youth group to other churches. Okay. And the reason that I liked to take them to other churches and things like that wasn't just because they made me look good, because they did. And I've said many times is when I was youth pastor, we'd be over at different camps or decision days or whatever the case might be. And I'd have other youth pastors or pastors or even laymen come up and compliment me on the youth group. They'll say, "Man, you guys have really got some good young people. I mean, you really got some good spiritual, young people," and really give compliments. And I enjoyed getting those compliments because it's good to see your young people doing as good as what they are. But that's not why I enjoyed necessarily taking them around to different places. But the reason that I love to take them to different churches, or especially to special services like youth camps or youth retreats or decision days and all that kind of stuff, is because I know that they're going to get the help that they need from God. And it's just a confidence that I have. I mean, I realize that when we pack them up and we send them off, they're serious enough that they're going to obtain the things they need from God. Because let's face it, sending them to those kind of things isn't easy to do. It costs the church a lot of money. Gas these days is unbelievable. I mean, just driving anywhere is $300 nowadays, taking vans and everything like that. So it's not easy, number one, because it costs the church a lot of money. That's just the way that it is. And I used to get really down on these camps thinking, what in the world could you charge $80 for a camp for? until we started having our own youth retreats. And I see we do not make any money whatsoever, and it's still 70-some bucks, isn't it, Brother Armstrong? I mean, things just cost a lot of money. So one reason it's kind of hard to do is because it costs so much money. But another reason that it's hard to do is because it's hard on the adults that are involved. I don't know about Candace, but it's hard on the adults. And Brother and Sister Armstrong will know what I'm talking about. But when I was youth pastor, you know, when I would go down there, I wasn't like a lot of those other guys. You know, they go down there and it seems like a lot of those preachers are down there with their kids for no other reason than to talk to the rest of their preacher friends. It'd make me sick to my stomach. I mean, Brother Boyer, they'd sit there and just talk to all their friends, wouldn't spend any time at all with their own kids that they took down there. I mean, here they have a perfect opportunity to bond with those kids like never before. I mean, to build a relationship with them in a real and a mighty way, to have God come and anoint that time down around the altars and just make things different in their youth group. But they're wanting to be talking to all the dumb preachers there. So when I'd go down there, that isn't the reason that I went. I mean, I wanted to go down and I'd say hi to my preacher friends and things like that. But I was there for a purpose. And that was to deal and get to know and to spend time with the people that we took down there. And God would bless it in a mighty way. But it wears you out when you do those kind of things. Because young people like to stay up later than what old 40-year-old people do. Young people got a whole lot more energy than what old guys like me have. That's just the way that it is. But, you know, we survive. But that's one of the things that makes it difficult to do. But what makes it all worthwhile to take our youth to do all those different things is the fact that they always return home with a tremendous testimony of how God came down and touched them and changed their lives and encouraged them in some way. I mean, they always return home with a tremendous testimony about what God has come down and accomplished inside of their lives. And that makes it all worthwhile. As a pastor, I don't say, oh, it's going to cost how much? I don't think we'll be able to do it this year, because I realize what's going to take place when a group of young people dedicates a week of their life to God. I know He's going to come down and move, and they let Him. But I want to ask you a question tonight. Why do you think our youth group always comes back from these kind of services with the powerful testimonies that they do? Why do you think that is? I mean, every time they come back, they'll say, okay, so what did God do? Well, the music was good. Well, man, they had a great concession stand. I mean, it was really awesome. Well, I met some chicks when I was down there. You know, they have spiritual things to say because God came down and gave them a spiritual experience. And the reason why is for two reasons. Number one, the first reason, is because the God they serve is faithful to them. Folks, He loves them and He desires to meet their needs. He wants to move in their lives and He has the power to do so, which is obvious because He always does. Amen. All in all, He wants verse 6 of our text to be fulfilled in our youth lives, which says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. He wants the testimony of Christ to be confirmed in them. And when we read that, we got to ask ourselves a question, what is the testimony of Christ? Well, it's described very well in verses 5 and 8. In verse 5 it says, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Then in verse 8 it says, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice some of the words that are used there. First of all, the word all. And then the word everything. Meaning that God wants them to be complete and perfect in their spiritual life. In verse 8, He even says that He wants to preserve them blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants them to be enriched in their spiritual lives. In other words, God's telling us in this text that He wants them to be lacking in nothing and abounding in everything. That's the will of God every time they go to one of those services. That's the testimony that God wants our youth group to have. He wants them to be enriched in Him and encouraged by Him. He wants them to be blameless and found complete in their relationship with God. All in all, He wants the youth of our church to be lacking in absolutely nothing and abounding in absolutely everything. That's the will of God for our youth. And the good news is that God is always faithful to do everything in His power to make sure that that will is accomplished. And what I mean by that is God's always going to be faithful to draw them, amen, to deal with their hearts and their lives, to invite them to partake of everything that He's wanting to do, and He has the power that He's promised to come down and accomplish it in them. He will always do anything and everything in His power to see that His will is accomplished in their lives. So the first reason that our youth always return home with a powerful testimony is because He wants to move in their lives and meet their needs, and He is able to move in their lives and to meet their needs. It's the first reason they always come back with a powerful testimony. It's because God's on their side, and everything that He can do to make sure that His will is accomplished, He will make sure gets done. But the second reason that they always return home with an awesome testimony is because just as God is always faithful to do His part in this process, our youth are always faithful to do theirs too. Yeah. Amen? Now, what I mean when I say that is they understand and they apply the keys to obtaining a testimony. And there's really three things that we need to consider when we're talking about this. Because first of all, they recognize the fact that they need God to move in their lives. You know, it seems like a lot of people don't really realize that fact of how desperately they're in need of a move of God, but they understand that they need more of Him. They acknowledge that. They accept it. They even agree with it to the point that they say, I need and I want God to move in my life. I'm not content to stay where I'm at. I have situations and some different hardships that I'm going through. I want to see God take care of it. Amen. There's a place in God that I've not yet experienced. I want God to come down and move me to that place. I have things that I need God to do inside of my life. So the first key that they have is they realize that they're in need of Him. They don't pretend that everything's fine. They go down there with the understanding is they need God to do something. Then the second thing is they're willing to see their need actually get met. They're not satisfied with just knowing they have a need. They're not content with just realizing it's there. But they are willing to do whatever it takes to see it taken care of like God wants it to be. When it comes to them obtaining a testimony, their will and God's will is one and the same. He doesn't want to just reveal things to us, but He wants to come down and move inside of our hearts and lives. Third thing, then they allow it to happen by seeking His face until it's accomplished. Folks, when you see our youth group seeking God when they're trying to get their needs met, they are as relentless as they could possibly be in their pursuit of Him. I'm serious. And you guys don't get to go down there and get to see the way God moves on their hearts and their lives, but they are relentless. I mean, the Bible calls it importunity. I mean, if you can see our youth group seeking God at youth camp as they're trying to get their needs met, you would wholeheartedly agree with me when I say that they redefine words like diligent, determined, relentless, emphatic. They redefine those kind of words. I mean, their willing and determined attitude is what literally allows the will of God to come down and be accomplished inside of their lives. I mean, you ought to watch them sometimes. They're the first ones down to the altar, and they're the last ones to leave, and they're the most serious group of young people while they're down there. It's the way it always was with every place we ever took them. They're absolute animals. I don't mean that in a bad way. Me and Brother Mann and Brother Carper used to sit around and laugh about it. I mean, when we first started having youth retreats, I mean, Brother Daniel knew what I'm talking about. They'd pray for hours and hours and hours until we couldn't pray anymore, so we just sat there and watched them. I'll pray the adults. I mean, one time we had a youth retreat up at, what's that Mennonite place? We went up there, did the... No. Camp Amigo. We were up there, and you know, they're not used to Pentecostal folks around there. You know what I mean? And we were up there, and I remember Faith Coffee, man, the Holy Ghost fell down on her heart and life during the song service, and we had a runaway, and the kids were down there screaming out in tongues, and she just kept screaming. And luckily, we had Joey Sweeney doing the youth retreat, and I looked at him, and I said, "Brother, I feel like you need to preach." And he says, "Well, it's a good thing God's blessed me with a big mouth, because I'm going to need it." They're serious about having God come down and do something in their life. They're kind of like Jacob. Amen. They sit there and they wrestle with God and they say, "I am not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not down here to play games. I'm not here to look good for all the other pastors. And I'm sure not trying to impress my friends. I came down here for a purpose, and that's to see the God of heaven that loves me so desperately come down and meet the needs I have in my life." And because of those three things, the needs that they go down with are needs that God takes care of. In other words, they do not come back the same way. And it's all because they allow God to do the work that needs to be done in their lives, and they allow Him to pour Himself into their lives until He actually accomplishes everything that He's desiring to do. Whether it be helping them with some of the pain or the hurtful situations they might be going through in life, or whether it be helping them pass some of the mistakes and failures they may have made since they've been serving God. Whatever, regardless of anything that the devil might be trying to do in their lives, they always come back with a powerful testimony that God can do something in a Christian's life regardless of what all the powers of hell are trying to do. And it's all because we have a youth group that takes God at His word and are serious about seeing the will of God accomplished in their lives instead of the will of hell. In other words, they get their needs met because they understand the keys to obtaining a testimony. And tonight, each one of us needs to understand that we need to allow our youth group's testimony to become a major influence on our adult lives. Because just like our young people, how many of you know that we have some serious needs in our lives too? Amen. Because I realize that, you know, we need to go on and we need to come to the place where we understand that we have needs in our lives too, where we recognize them and we admit those things to God, and then we become willing to do whatever it's going to take to actually see those needs get taken care of. I mean, we need to be determined to seek the face of God until the testimony that He accomplishes in them becomes the testimony that He accomplishes in us. Because if we have the same kind of problems, then we need to use the same kind of keys. We need to say, "God, I realize I've got needs. I've worn my prettiest smile when I came into church. I even tried to dress up so you wouldn't see my lip dragging on the ground. But you realize I got some things going on in my life that I need you to take care of. And I'm admitting those things. I'm acknowledging those things. Lord, I'm admitting I need you to move in my life. And I'm willing to get that need met. I don't want to just know about it. I don't want to just be convicted. I want you to eradicate this problem out of my life. And I'm willing to go down to an altar of prayer and stay there until you do." I want to have that same kind of importunist attitude where I say, "God, I'm not going to let you go until you come down and bless me too. I'm thankful for all the things that you did in the life of our youth. I'm glad for that. I've been praying for them. I've wanted to see you move. Now youth camp's over and I want you to continue those things. But God, I got needs too." And I know if I'll just have the same kind of attitude that they had, the same God that is so faithful to them will be the same God that will be absolutely faithful to me. Amen. Sister, if you want to go ahead and come to the music. So in closing, I want to ask you this. Tonight, what are you in need of? What kind of problems are you struggling with? I mean, are you going through hardship in your life? I mean, trials, tests, temptations. I mean, is life really giving you a bad deal right now? God knows all about it, and most of all, He wants to do something about it. But you've got to admit it to Him. You've got to be willing to see Him come down and take care of that situation and be determined that you're going to seek His face until He does. Or maybe you've got some failures and mistakes in your spiritual life. Maybe you're not everything that you need to be in God, and you need to come to the place where you're sick of just being convicted about it But you come down and you say, God, I realize that You're not pleased with this particular area, so I'm going to surrender it on this altar of prayer, and I'm going to seek Your face and ask that You would empower me with Your Holy Spirit so that I can go on to change in the way that You desire me to. Whichever one of those things you might be struggling with, you need to ask yourself, what is your attitude when it comes to that problem tonight? Are you willing to apply the keys to obtaining a testimony so God can come down and turn all those things into a testimony like He wants to? Or are you willing to just be content to stay in the exact same situations and conditions that you've been in? God's willing to pull you out. He has no desire for us to experience anything but absolute victory. Absolute victory. That's all He wants for His people. And He's willing to do anything to make sure that it can happen in your life tonight. But you've got to be willing to apply these keys. Wouldn't it be a shame? I mean, you got to think about it. A lot of times, we don't get a mental image of God before we come into His house. And we come in with all kinds of problems and situations, and there's two things that we don't consider. The power of God and the heart of God. I mean, here we serve a God that can do absolutely anything about anything. He laughs at impossibilities. And then when you're backed up against the wall, and I mean, you got a Red Sea in front of you, He's the kind of God that says, I'll just go ahead and lift a rod and I'll go ahead and split it in half. When you're chained in between two soldiers down in the deepest part of the dungeon, I mean, He just sends an angel and shakes the fretters off and causes the doors to open of their own accord and leads you to freedom. We serve a God that can do absolutely anything, but the other thing we don't even think about is we have a God that loves us so much that we don't have to beg Him or twist His arm to get Him to do it. All we got to do is be open and honest with Him and say, God, I have needs. And I realize that if I want to get them met, I don't have to sit here and twist Your arm. All I got to do is be determined to stay here in faith, seeking the face of God, knowing what Your power and Your heart is to my life until You come down and You take these problems out of the way, just like You do for the young people at our church. Let's go ahead and stand. How many of you believe that God really loves you more than anything? How many of you believe that it breaks His heart to look at the situations that some of you are in? I mean, He knows the hardships of your life. I mean, that's not the way that He wants it to be. If you're here and you're failing God in some way, how many of you know that that's not what God wants for your life either? And the devil jumps on our back and says, you're such a failure and such a loser. I mean, God would never do anything with you. And he tries to make us feel like he's offended with us. And I understand God's offended with sin, but you're dealing with a master of deception. I mean, the devil comes in and tries to make you feel like God wouldn't even turn an open ear to you. He loves us so much that he doesn't care what we're involved in. He wants to pull us out. It's time we come down around the altars tonight and look at your situations through the hope that's in Christ's eyes and through the power that is in His name and begin to come down here and have some determination to stay until you get your needs met. I know that God can do it. You don't even have to tell me your situation. To tell you the truth, and I don't mean this in a mean way, I don't really care what it is. Because I know regardless of what it is, God can meet it tonight. But our attitude makes everything dependent. And a lot of times we want to push everything off on God and we don't want to accept anything in and of ourselves. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is what? He's all powerful and He's all loving. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And if we'll apply those principles tonight, I think you'll be amazed at the progress you'll make at the altar. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and we love You with all of our hearts. Lord, we're a people that have needs. I mean, some of us are going through hellish situations in our life that we need You to come and take care of. We need You to heal our broken hearts. We need You to fix desperate situations. We need the God of heaven to move, Lord. There's some of us that are failing you in areas of our spiritual lives. Maybe we've been failing you for years and we've never been willing to do anything about it. But Lord, you've been convicting us, being faithful to draw us near, wanting to fix the problem. And tonight I pray around these altars, we would be determined to let you move. Lord, regardless of these situations, we know what your heart is towards our lives, and we certainly know what your power is towards our lives. And Lord, we ask that you would accomplish those things in Jesus' name. And most of all, we would be open and that we would be persistent until you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, I don't care which one of the things that you're struggling with. If you need help from God tonight, you need to come down and get it. Let's come and pray.